Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. I'll also be looking at one verse in Matthew 14. Mark chapter 6, Matthew 14. We're in this series, The Jesus Response, and in each miracle, we see something about Jesus and the way he responds to human need. This story I'm about to read is the only miracle outside the resurrection that there's an account of in all four Gospels. And so that grabbed the attention of all the apostles that wrote, and each of them, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mentioned this account. We'll just read a couple of verses in Mark now. We'll look at other verses as we preach and move forward. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 6. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." Nothing to eat. We're in a desert place. The time is late. Send them away. I want to get the response from Matthew's version, Matthew 14, verse 16. When the disciples said, "Send them away," Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. The disciple says there's no way to meet their need. Just send them away. And Jesus said, no, they don't need to go anywhere to have their need met. And the reason is he was in the midst. Hallelujah. And I want to preach the Jesus response this morning. Jesus would say, you need go nowhere else. You need go nowhere else. Hallelujah. Let's pray together that God would visit us with an anointing and just bind up our hearts together and speak and change people's lives this morning. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're amongst your people. And now, Father, send that eternal spirit to anoint, to make your word a living thing in our hearts afresh and anew. Lord, encourage and strengthen him. Turn every heart to the Savior, every heart to the Deliverer. Turn our hearts to you to expect and to believe in faith from you. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. In a quick nutshell in this story, the people were hungry. Their stomachs were empty. Their bodies were weak. But before the day was ended, Jesus satisfied their hunger, and they learned that Jesus could meet their deepest needs. Hallelujah. I contrasted that from the way it is in the world. People realize something is missing. They go to this, and they do not find satisfaction. And they go to that, and they do not find satisfaction. And they move on to something else. Still no satisfaction. They keep going from one thing to the other. But I want you to know, if you ever come to Christ, you'll discover you need go nowhere else. He's able to satisfy the deepest longing. I thought it was unique. I was praying about this message and writing a few notes down. And I was right at this part when I was thinking about how people of the world go from thing to thing and never find satisfaction. And I got up to check my email, and I had an email with almost the very words that were coming to me. And I never share that which is confidential, but I have emails from people because of our website from across the nation. And this is completely anonymous, but the words are almost the same. And I'll paraphrase and quote this email. Somebody said, "I've looked here, I've looked elsewhere, I've tried other means for the satisfaction of my soul, but the void and emptiness still remain." That's the way it is in the world. You go here with expectation, you leave unsatisfied. You try this with expectation, and you leave unsatisfied. But I'm telling you, when you come to Jesus, you'll need go nowhere else. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. How many believe it this morning? Oh, bless your name. It made me think of that old hymn, hallelujah. I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing, and by his grace, I now am saved. I'm telling you, if you come truly to Jesus, humbly to Jesus, if you truly come to him, you'll discover every deep need of your heart and life and person will be met, and you'll leave saying, the search is over. The search is over. I need go nowhere else. Hallelujah. In this miracle, let's look at the human need. And before we look at the need of the people, I want you to notice the need of Jesus and the disciples. Jesus had just got the news that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. He's dealing with that. Jesus has been ministering. He's fatigued with teaching and healing. His disciples have just come back from a ministry excursion. It had been successful, but the disciples are drained from their ministry. And so Jesus turned to his disciples after these reports of the beheading of John the Baptist and the ministry results of the disciples. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, you know, fellas, we need a little rest. We need a little rest. Let's go over the sea to that secluded place by Bethsaida, and let's have some R&R there. We just really desperately need it. And so they got in their boat. And they begin to head across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is really like a little lake, just a real tiny lake. And they're on the sea, and the people recognize Jesus as the teacher and the healer. They're on the shore. But the news got out and said, Jesus is heading across the lake. And so people begin to run out of their homes and begin to follow the boat by sight. Now, it had to be small. The lake had to be small to follow that boat by sight. And they're following the boat, running along the shore. And the crowd is growing as the boat progresses. And here's the thing. From the point the disciples disembarked and to the point that they docked is only 5 miles. But the route the people had to take was 10 miles. It takes further when you're not cutting across the lake. You're following the edge, the circumference, the perimeter of the lake. Amen. So the disciples and Jesus went 5 miles, but the people had to travel 10 miles. You know, that tells us something. First of all, Jesus and the disciples, one or two things. Either they got in that boat and they got in a headwind and they were having trouble tacking or rowing, because when they got to the place, the people got there just shortly after. And if they're only going 5 miles and the people are going 10 miles, they either had a headwind or they were really just taking it easy. Let's be in no hurry, fellas. Go ahead, do a little fishing, enjoy the breeze. Amen, because they only got 5 miles and the people's got 10. But it also tells us something about 10, about the people. If the people were willing to run and keep looking for that boat, and not by a good road, but by the rugged edge of that lake, they're willing to go 10 miles just to meet with Jesus. That tells you something about the hunger of people's hearts, even the desperate need of the inner soul of people, that they would travel 10 miles just to come to Jesus. Anybody here feel any hunger in your heart this morning? I said, anybody feel any hunger? They went 10 miles just to hear him teach again. Amen. So this story opens with Jesus and the disciples weary. They're in need of rest. They're hungry themselves. The people have come 10 miles. They're weary. They're hungry. But we get this indication that as hungry and tired as the people were physically, they were more hungry and more weary spiritually. Amen. How do we know that? Look at verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out of the boat, he saw much people, and he was moved with compassion towards him, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Their first need was spiritual. They're not breaking out the bread and the fishes yet. Why? Because as great as their physical need, those hearts of those people were starving spiritually. And as tired as he was, as weary as he was, Jesus responded to that need and said, I'm going to teach them. I'm going to preach to them. I'm going to heal their sick. Amen. Jesus said they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They're hungry. They're hurting. For him to say they're without a shepherd, shepherd means that the priestly rituals of the temple were not satisfying their soul. The teaching in the synagogue wasn't touching their need. They were lost. Nothing in their world. They have Greek culture. They've got Roman government. But the people were finding nothing in the world to feed their soul. And Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. But he said, I'll be your shepherd. I'll feed your hunger. I'll bind up your hurt. I'll minister to you. Aren't you glad for the day Jesus said, I'll be your shepherd? They've been everywhere else, but they hungered. Yet, their needs were not met elsewhere. They came to Jesus. But as this miracle addresses, their need was also physical, common, and everyday. Aren't you glad Jesus is concerned about common, everyday needs? Let's look in verse 35. The day was far spent. His disciples said unto him, this is a desert place. It's late in the day. Verse 36, the people are hungry, so send them away so they can go out in the country and into the villages, go to the grocery store, go to McDonald's, whatever, Taco Bell, but let them get out before they close and buy themselves bread, because the people had nothing to eat. Notice the setting here. It's late. It's a secluded, remote place. No stores, no markets, no farms. And if they had made it to the market, it would have been closing for the day. So let's just summarize the context. Time is running out, and there were no resources to meet the need. Have you ever been there when time was running out and you had no resources to meet your need? I also want to note here, just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you'll never come to secluded desert places without resources. These people were following Jesus when they came to a desert place without resource. How many be honest this morning? See, I follow Jesus and I've come to a place. It was deserted. It was a desert and there were no resources. Even in other words, it was supper time. Supper time had come, but there was no supper and nowhere to get it. Have you been there? The bill is due. It's now late. The bill is due and you have no money in the bank to pay it. The time has come to make the decision. You've not yet received direction. A huge hurt has come to you and the one that you love, and you have no words to console them and to comfort them. Time has come to pray and you feel nothing in your soul. It's supper time and there's no supper and there's nowhere to get it. That's a desperate strait until you recognize something else in that desert place. With time run out and no resources, Jesus is there as well. Oh, hallelujah. Have you found him come to your desert place? Hallelujah. Let's look at the usual probable response. First of all, from the people, what was their response? Here's what I found so interesting. We have no record, as hungry as they were, that any of the people who had traveled 10 miles, any of them complained. The children had to be hungry and crying. There, in a crowd that size, there had to be people with physical needs of lack of food, fainting, and all that, medical needs. But nowhere do you read where the people were complaining. You know why? They had a spiritual hunger so great. It was greater than their physical hunger. That'd be good right now. Amen. Getting us close to lunch. Amen. A spiritual hunger that's so great, it's greater than the physical. I'm telling you, when folks get spiritual hunger, they don't complain about the sermon being a little long. When people have spiritual hunger, they don't complain because somebody chose the wrong key. Hallelujah. Why? Because there's only one concern. They desire their need met. What about the disciples' response? Amen. We've read it in verse 36. The disciples said they have nothing to eat. Send them away. The disciples must be commended in that they did recognize the people had a need. Even they were sensitive to the fact that the people had nothing to eat. But the disciples erred in believing that nothing could be done about the people's need. It's great when we recognize that people have need. May we be sensitive enough to recognize when people have needs, but may we not err with the disciples in assuming that there's nothing that can be done about the need. Oh, why? Because Jesus is here. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Send them away. There's nothing to eat. The disciples were probably hungry as well. Amen. That's why they were sensitive to the people's need. The disciples were hungry too. Amen. How many knows when you've had needs of your own, you're more empathetic when other folks have need. When you're hungry, you might recognize that they're hungry too. Amen. Everybody's hungry. The people are hungry. The disciples responded, there's nothing here. We have nothing to give them. Send them elsewhere. Amen. In other words, the disciples said, let them go away so they can buy for themselves bread. Now look, in effect, what the disciples said. The disciples said, let those people take care of themselves. Let them help themselves. You know, that's a pretty good philosophy. That's a great philosophy. I hear it in the political scenario. Just let those folks take care of themselves. Amen. That's a real good philosophy until you consider that there are some people in a place and with a need that they have no means, they have no resources of taking care of themselves. Yeah, people should take care of themselves. But there's folks here even this morning, spiritually, you've got a need, you can't help yourself. That's why Jesus came, to help folks that can't help themselves. The disciples said, send the people away. I want to say this morning, we should never send people away without trying to help them with the help of Christ and the help of God. Amen. In fact, as the church of the living God, we shouldn't have to refer people elsewhere to get help. We ought to say there's help right here. If Jesus is here, there is help. May we not have the disciples' response, amen, and say, send them away. May we have a different response and say, you need go nowhere else. Hallelujah. We'll get back to the disciples' response in a little bit. And I begin to think, as I have in all these miracles, what would have been our response? And I'm putting myself in there. Amen. If we were faced that day with that hungry crowd, we would have said, well, you know what I think? I think they just came for a free lunch. I've often marveled, you know, sometimes church dinner days, we'll have 175 in morning or Sunday school. We'll have 200 in morning worship and 235 at the dinner. How many's ever noticed that? I'll tell you another response we'd have. Well, that's why we pay taxes. Right? Or we can't help everybody. Or, you know, we're not set up to handle that kind of need. Aren't you glad with Jesus? Nobody needs to be sent away. Hallelujah. They need go nowhere else. What was Jesus' response? Look in verse 34. I want to go back to the spiritual need briefly. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, he was moved with compassion. He sees, yes, there's their physical need, but first of all, he sees their spiritual need. And with compassion, in spite of his weariness and grief, he wants to meet both. Look at John chapter 6, verse 5. It gives us a little more information. John does. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he got there just a little bit before the people. He saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, you got to get the scenario here. Jesus doesn't feed the people until the end of the day. That conversation I've already read when Jesus said to the disciples, give them to eat. That's at the end of the day. But when he very first saw the people, He turned to Philip and said, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" That's at the first of the day. Anyone got an idea why he asked Philip? Where were they at? The desert place of Bethsaida? That's where Philip was from. That was Philip's home territory. And he turned to Philip. He said, "You know the territory. You know what eating joints, as we'd say down south, you know what eating joints we got around here? They got around here. Why don't you tell us where these people are going to eat?" This is at the first of the day when the people are still coming. He said to Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now listen, you got to get this. You got to get this. Jesus isn't wringing his hands. It's, "Oh my, oh my, oh my. What are we going to do? All these people, how are we ever going to feed them?" You know, like your wife does when you invite two more families over than she expected. How are we ever going to feed these? Jesus isn't wringing his hands. Oh, this is exciting. Jesus isn't a quandary on how their needs going to be met. Look at John chapter 6, verse 6. "And Jesus said this to prove Philip, for he himself knew what he would do." Jesus already knows how he's going to meet the need. It's at the beginning of the day. The people are not yet even hungry, but Jesus already knows how he's going to meet their need. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Philip's wringing his hand and say, "I don't know how they're going to be fed." But Jesus was just testing him. Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Have you found yourself there? You're wringing your hands. "I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do." You're pacing the floor. You got the problem. You got the need. You got the difficulty. "I just don't know what we're going to do." Well, remind yourself in the midst of that. When you're saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do," Jesus is saying, "I know what I'm going to do." He already knows. We're wondering why, when, how. Jesus already has it figured out. He already knows what he's going to do. Isn't that a wonderful Savior? No wonder we need go nowhere else. He knew what he would do. The disciples had all day through the teaching and the healing to contemplate that question. How are we going to feed these people? Jesus is teaching wonderful truths. He's performing miraculous healings. And the disciples over there missing it all. How are we going to feed them? How are we going to? I mean, here's a man that's lame. He's jumping. And the disciples are going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How are we ever going to feed? Amen. That's the setting. They're in a quandary. Verse 37. Now at the end of the day, amen, the disciples said, "Send them away." Jesus said, "No, give ye them." You give them something to eat. And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" The day's done, the teaching's done, the healing's done. And Jesus said, "Okay, it's time to serve the people." And the disciples says, "There's no bags of groceries. There's no buffet line. There's no kitchen." And Jesus said, "Okay, guys. Feed them." Wow. Talk about a need for faith. But back to Matthew, Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, you give them eat." Amen. No, Jesus said they need go nowhere else to have their needs met. I want, in effect, he was saying, "I want none to leave me with their need unmet. That's what I care about. That's what I've come to do, is to meet needs. Don't you be sending those people away. In fact, they don't need to go anywhere else to have their need met." In essence, that's been the effect of the department store. You know, many of us could remember pre-department days, you know. You had to go to one store for hardware, another store for shoes, another store for groceries, another store for glasses. And now the success of the department store is when you walk through the doors, you don't need to go to any other store. They got it. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying Jesus just here to meet material needs, but I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thing about Jesus. When you come to him, you need go nowhere else. Amen. He's an all-sufficient God. God. How many believes he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or think? If you've truly found Jesus, you need go nowhere else. You give them to eat. He said to the disciples, I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been where the disciples were? You were called upon to give and you felt like you had nothing to give. Have you been there? Called upon to pray, you didn't have anything to pray. Called upon to teach, you didn't feel like you had anything to teach. Called upon for advice, you don't feel like you had any advice. Called upon, have you ever been there with the disciples? It's time to give and you have nothing to give. Could I get ahead of myself and tell you, when you're where the disciples are, it's time to give and you have nothing to give. Could you remember that Jesus is standing beside you? Oh, hallelujah. And you need not depart. The lesson of this miracle is to me, when I've been preaching all day, amen, when you've got Jesus at that place, you need go nowhere else to have your needs met. In fact, I think that's the indictment against the Christian people. They preach that Jesus is the answer, and then they go elsewhere seeking pleasure, seeking satisfaction. I mean, he's either the answer or he's not. How many believes he's the answer? If he's the answer, we need go nowhere else. Hallelujah. Amen. If Jesus is the answer, if you have Jesus, why would you listen to the world's music that glorifies the pleasures of the flesh? If you have Jesus, why would you turn to alcohol and drugs? If you have Jesus, why would you seek out someone other than your mate? If you have Jesus, why would you revisit the world when you never found anything there to start with? But if you have Jesus, you know you need to know nowhere else. The search is over. Hallelujah. Verse 37, just back so you'll see again, give them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go buy bread? In other words, the disciples said, there's nothing here to eat. Jesus said, give them to eat. Philip's been figuring and refiguring all day. No doubt he asked Judas, how much money? Remember, Judas was a treasurer. He said, Judas, how much money we got in the bag? And Judas said, we got $4.50. And Philip said, that won't do. It's going to take 200 denarii. Now, one denarius was about one day's wage. How many would like to meet that need this morning, even in this congregation, to realize we need 200 days' wages to feed the people that showed up for the dinner at Vaughn Hall, all the visitors, all the unsaved? And I said, all right, church, we can't let them go hungry. We got to feed them. We're going to need 200 days' wages. If a day's wages is, we'll make it good. A good day's wage is $200. You do the math, 200 times 200. No wonder Philip was wringing his hands. Had all day to think about it. And he turns and he says to Jesus, I've done the math. I figured out how many people. I figured out how much each people would on average eat. I figured out how much bread that would take. And I figured by the cost of bread, how much money we'll need. And he spread that word to the other disciples. And when Jesus said, give them to eat, they said, how are we going to do it? We can't even go buy it. That'd take 200 days' wages. Matthew. Philip had done all the figuring, but in all the figuring, he had left out one factor. How many knows what the factor was in the figure? What did he leave out? He left out Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you students are math stars? You're really good at math. Let me see your hand. Oh, okay, here's some right here. I know Juliet is. Hey, man, how many knows you can just leave out one decimal place? You can just forget one number that you carried. You can just leave out one little sign, one little symbol, and it changes the answer. Hey, man, Philip had all the facts. His figuring was right. He just left out one factor, Jesus. Could I tell you, in all your figuring with your problem, don't forget to factor in Jesus. Put him into the equation. Would you do it right here this morning? Whatever you're struggling with, put Jesus into the equation. Amen. Nothing wrong with Philip's math. He just forgot a factor. He forgot Jesus. Another problem was the disciples looked at the resources, rather the lack of resources, and forgot the source. Amen. Amen. After you've taken a look at your resources, don't forget the source. Every good and perfect perfect gift coming from the Father of lights above. Hallelujah. Amen. Figure that in. Verse 38, he saith unto them, amen, well, you're telling me what you don't have. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, we've got 5 and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, that'll be enough. Oh, look at the crowd. Lord, we just got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, that'll be enough. Oh, it can't be. You forgot to factor in me. Hallelujah. That'll be enough. They don't need to go anywhere else. Andrew said, there's a lad here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's in John 6:9. And then he said, what are they among so many? Amen. Philip said, the crowd was too big. Amen. In other words, the need is too great. Andrew said, the lunch is too small. In other words, the resources are too small. But Jesus is going to illustrate that the need is never too big and the resources are never too small when he's in the picture. Hallelujah. Oh, I said, hallelujah. Amen. Andrew said, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they among so many? In Matthew, Jesus said, bring them hither to me. Isn't that the secret? It's not what you don't have. It's what you bring to Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, it's what, not what you don't have. It's what you're willing to bring to Jesus. They're too few. They're too little. Jesus said, bring them to me. I want to tell us this morning, is it what you don't have that Jesus wants to use? It's what you do have. And however much we have, it's enough if we bring it to Jesus. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough ability. I don't have enough strength. Oh, it'd be enough if you'd bring it to Jesus. 5's not enough. 2's not enough. But 5 plus 2 is 7. And that's God's perfect complete number. Hallelujah. He'll make it enough. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's just some kind of a bogus math. Well, maybe so. But what I'm trying to say is, figure in Jesus and it'll be enough. I also want you to notice that it was a little boy with a little lunch, with little fish, but Jesus used the little. Amen. I'm telling you, even for the needs that we have at Union Pentecostal, a child may hold the key, may have the answer. It was a little boy with a little lunch and little fishes. Oh, but I could hear Brother Stone or sing it now, little as much if God is in it. Hallelujah. It's not how little you have, it's whether do you bring it to Christ or not. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about the Jesus response. Verse 39, he commanded them to sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. Now I want to tell you something. The people understood what was happening. The disciples were getting them ready to eat. And Jesus and the disciples are going to look awfully foolish after they get all those people to sit down in that orderly fashion, sitting on the grass, ready for lunch. And if they're not able to give them lunch, they're going to look foolish. How many times will the enemy tell you that? You're going to look foolish. You trust in God, you're going to look foolish. I want to briefly note some things about this. First of all, when you read desert place, don't think Mojave Desert. It means secluded. No towns, no villages, no people. It wasn't desert like Mojave because there was green grass for them to sit on. Oh, I never thought about it before, but let me go back to this. No towns, no people, lonely place. And Jesus said, have them sit down on the green grass. Is it clicking yet? Didn't click with me before either. The Lord, he said, I saw them as sheep without a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He does what? He maketh me to what? Lie down in green pastures. How many believe that came to some of the people's minds?
hungry, but he said, have them sit down on the green grass. Sit down in companies. Mark used a word that means like garden plots. The people are sitting in order in a section here and a section there. Mark looked, the sun is sitting, shining across the waters on the people, and to him it looked like being up on a hill and seeing. Have you ever seen that agriculture? The little plots of fields? He said, that's the way it looked. All the people and all this order, anticipating supper, and the disciples saying, we still don't have anything to give them. But Jesus said, give them. I'll hurry to a close, but you got to get this. It'll help you. Amen. I want you to notice something. It'll help us this morning. The disciples were short on faith. They said, how are we going to feed this crowd? We don't have enough. The disciples are short on faith, Brother Steve, but they keep on obeying. Jesus said, have the people sit down. They caused the people to sit down. Jesus said, come up here and get some bread. And not seeing any bread, they obeyed and went and reached out there. I want to tell you, you may get in situations you feel short on faith, but do like the disciples. Keep on obeying. Keep on obeying. I said, keep on obeying. Oh, hallelujah. He'll see you through. Glory to God. Verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Here's the difference. Jesus, it's placed in his hands. He took it. He looked to heaven. He blessed it. He broke it. And he gave it. And he gave it. And he gave it. And he gave it. I don't have time to preach all of this morning. But I'll tell you, things will start happening when you put it in Jesus' hands. Oh, no bread anywhere. Nowhere to buy it. Nowhere it's growing. But you put it in Jesus' hands. And it starts happening. You got a big need. Put it in Jesus' hands. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So much here I'll just briefly mention. There's no doubt in Christ's mind. He's thinking ahead just a little bit to the Last Supper, the Passover, when he'll take the bread and the cup, break the bread and hand it to the disciples and say, this is a symbol of my body that'll be broken for you, and this is a symbol of my blood that'll be shed for you. No doubt the breaking of the bread, Jesus was thinking of the breaking of his body, but I think he was thinking of something else beyond the physical biscuit you hold in your hand. Jesus saying, if you'll take your life in whatever shape it's in, you take your life and put it in my hands. I'll look to the Father. I will bless you, and I may have to break you, and you may have to go through hard places, but I'll bless you, and then you will give to this one, and you will give to that one, and you'll give to another one. I'll make your life a blessing if you'll put it in my hands. How many believe things start happening when we put it in his hands? Just some brief notes here. Jesus produced the food, but he used the disciples to distribute it. The disciples say, we don't have bread, we don't have bread. Jesus said, give them bread. We don't have bread. Jesus said, I'll give you bread so you can give bread. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, isn't it wonderful being a believer? You know you don't have enough, but he'll give you what you need at that moment. Jesus produced, the disciples distributed. I want to make clear, we cannot produce. The disciples could not either. They could not make that bread and fish multiply. And what people really need, we don't have. We can't make it happen. We cannot produce it. But if we'll put what we do have in Jesus' hands, he will return it with what we need to help others. Last of all, what were the results of Jesus' response? Verse 41, when he'd taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, I've read this, he broke it, he blessed it, he divided amongst them all. Verse 42, and here's the results. They did all eat and were filled. Everyone had to eat. Everyone was full. Oh, hallelujah. I could apply that in a lot of ways. He's all-sufficient God. But I noticed 2 things. Nobody left hungry. If they did, it was because they refused to take what was passed to them and eat them. That lets me know you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Nobody has to leave here unsaved. Nobody has to leave here unhelped. Number one. Number two, this is a big crowd. 5,000 men besides women and children. This is an example where God met the need of a congregation. He met the need of a group of people. We as individuals, we have needs. You got a need, you got a need, I got a need. But as a congregation, as the church family of Union Pentecostal Church, we've got needs. But we've got an example where God met the need of a congregation. Oh, how many believes, if we just realize, put it in His hands, He can meet our need, church family. Amen. How many is aware enough to know we're a needy congregation? We need the help. We need the power of God. We need the visitation. But Brother Ryan, he met the need of a congregation. Glory to God, a group of people. He's able to do it. Amen. Amen. So abundantly was the need met. Would you come, music? That they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves. They did eat of the loaves. Were about 5,000. I like the way John records it. Amen. Verse 13 of chapter 6. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Listen, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lot of reasons. Amen. Jesus knows how to figure. He could have figured it. Brother Kroger. So it came out perfect. When they got to the last person, it was the last biscuit and the last filet. Amen. He could have figured it. Oh, but he figured it. So there were 12 baskets left over. Why? I believe several reasons. But I believe foremost is to realize more abundantly. More abundantly. I didn't just come that you have life. But I've come that you might have life. More in other words, he's got more. More than enough to meet your need. Oh, I said he's got more than enough to meet your need. You don't just barely get saved. You get wondrously saved. You don't halfway get delivered. You get gloriously delivered. How many knows with the Lord there's more than enough? I believe another reason is because God never wastes anything. He told the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. God wastes nothing. I said, God wastes nothing. Some folks will waste a perfectly good service. Some folks will waste a perfectly good move of God. As far as they're concerned, it made no difference. They didn't receive. Some folks will waste a good word from the Lord. Oh, if Jesus is here, I want to take it from His hands. Don't waste this moment this morning. Don't say we'll be through in a little bit and we can go on to something else. Oh, there may be other reasons. Let me just share one more. Why did they take up with what was remaining? Well, how many baskets did they fill? How many baskets did they fill? 12. How many disciples are there? 12. Here's all these disciples wringing their hands saying, we don't have anything to give. We don't have anything to give. Jesus not only fed the 5,000 women and children, but every disciple left with a basket full of bread. He can't say, I have nothing. You know what that was? That was their lunch for the next day. Glory to God. He'll not only meet your need today, He'll give you lunch for tomorrow. Oh, come on, let's have church while we're having church. I said, He'll not only meet your need today, He'll give you lunch for tomorrow. How many needs a lunch for tomorrow? You just be real honest. I'm not talking about a peanut butter sandwich. I'm talking about spiritually, you need a lunch for tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's a sad thing. I'm concluding with this. John tells us that even on this occasion, when Jesus continued to teach, people began to turn away from Jesus' teaching and thought that they would go somewhere else. Jesus has just illustrated they need go nowhere else. But when the teaching got a little rough, when it didn't cater to the flesh anymore, the crowd began to melt away and the people began to go somewhere else. And as the crowd began to go away, Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, "Will you guys also go away?" Peter said some immortal words. He said, "Lord, I know they're going. And now you're asking us, are we going?" Listen, he said, "But Lord, to whom shall we go? You're the one that has the words of everlasting life." That's a good question for you to go somewhere. That's a good question for you to leave the things of God for this world. Where are you headed? I'll tell you where you're headed. You're headed somewhere. It won't meet your need. You'll have to head somewhere else, and you'll have to head somewhere else, and you'll have to head somewhere. Oh, but if you'd come and give what you have to Jesus, you'd realize once and for all, the search is over. You need go nowhere else. How many has found that true? You need go nowhere else. Oh, he's the master. I'm going to ask you in a minute. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you some questions. Amen. Have you known Jesus, but now you find yourself looking elsewhere? Have you known Jesus, you find yourself looking elsewhere? Do you find yourself turning to something or someone other than Jesus? I do this very infrequently. I usually don't even think of it. But I'm thinking of someone that might be listening this morning to the stream. You know exactly what I am talking about. You had Jesus in your life. You left him. You've tried this, left empty. Tried that, left empty. Tried another thing, left empty. It's not working out. Don't you remember how it was when Jesus was in your life? You needed to go nowhere else. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's worship him across the building. If you found that Jesus satisfies us so, if you found him true, if you found him to meet your need, if you found him all sufficient, oh, there's no need to look elsewhere. Oh, there's no need to look elsewhere. More emptiness, more emptiness, more void. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You got a need this morning. Would you begin to come and put it in Jesus' hand? It's not what you don't have. It's what you put in his hands this morning. Amen. Would you begin to come across the building? Whatever your need is, from physical to spiritual, you've got a need. Would you come and by that coming, say, "I'm putting it in Jesus' hand." Amen. Amen. I'm putting it in Jesus' hands. Lord, here, take it. Take my life. Lord, if you have to break me, break me. But oh, God, bless me and you. Use me to give to others, to meet others' needs. Amen. Do you have a need? Would you come and put in here? I promise you, if you'll come sincerely, you need go nowhere else. Amen. You need go nowhere else. If you bring it to Jesus, put it in his hands. Put it in his hands. He said, "Give them to eat. We've only got this." Well, then give it to me, and then you'll have to give them to eat. Let's feel this altar this morning across the building. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus will satisfy. Jesus will satisfy.
And the task ahead seems bigger than you. That's when he steps in.
Give it to him.
When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done, my man. That's when he steps in.
Disciples said, "Send them away." Jesus said, "They don't need to go anywhere."
He sees you at the point of your need.
They don't need to go anywhere.
He sees you at the point of crossing your
Do you feel yourself tempted to look elsewhere? It won't work. Jesus is the answer.
When you give in your all, he steps in. He steps in and he'll say, "What's that you have in your hand?"
What's in your hand? Give it to him.
I can use it.
We've only got five loaves.
If you're willing to lose
put it in his hand.
Take the little you have and make it great. I am El Shaddai.
Put your
life more than
in His hands.
Your need, and He'll say, what's that you have in your hand? I can use it.
Oh,
if you're willing to lose it, we'll take the little you have and make it grand.
Make it grand.
I am El Shaddai.
I'm El Shaddai.
And I'm more than supply. Oh,
put it in His hands this morning. Put your life in His hands. You don't need to go elsewhere. Just give it to Jesus. Turn to Jesus.
He steps in. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when He steps in. Let Him take it. It the moment you live it, and in the moment you call, when you give in your all, He steps in. He steps
in. Let's seek Him this morning. Hallelujah.
What's that you have in your hand?
Hallelujah. I give it to you, Lord.
I give it to you, Lord. Use it.
I give it to you, Lord.
If you're willing to the little you have and make it grand. I am El Shaddai, and I'll more than supply your need. When all you have is oil in a jar, that's a reflection of where you are. That's when He steps in. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the need ahead. That's when He steps in. Let Him take it and bless it and break it and give it. He'll multiply it the moment you live it, in the moment you call. God's command takes more than can be done by man. That